Thank you, Alice. I've got with me a bit of electrical merchandise, the meaning of which will become clear shortly, so don't worry if you're wondering what on earth I'm up to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we will have ears open to hear what you are saying to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name and in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Now, before I came to St. Barnabas, up until a couple of years ago, I used to teach in a college in Durham, and some of the students at that college decided to play bingo in one of my lectures, as there were certain words that I use a great deal, and I only realized they were doing this when a kind of stifled cheer came from the back of the lecture room when one of them had sort of won the game. I'm guessing that you're the same as me. There'll be certain words that you like, or that just you kind of slip into using all the time. Well, that kind of verbal bingo would be very easy to do with the Bible reading that Alice has just read for us. For there is a word that's repeated, and I think it's something like 27 times in 1 John chapter 4. The word is love. If you've got a Bible with you, if you've got one at home, please do open it up to 1 John chapter 4, because you'll find that very helpful. Now, 1 John chapter 4 is about the priority of love in the Christian believer's life. And what is meant by love, we need to be quite clear about, because it's meant as primarily an action or an attitude rather than a feeling, an emotion. And don't get me wrong, having the feeling or emotion of love in your heart, that's really important. But here it's meant to go beyond that. Just as in the same way, liking something on Facebook, that's a fine and good thing. But that needs to translate into some kind of action or change in our attitudes. Faith is not simply about achieving a kind of inner state of peace, and good as that certainly is. It's meant to spill out into active love for others. And as we say that, we can say too, if we have any self-knowledge, that we want to love, but we also find it hard to love. And so as we dig into this scripture, we'll learn about becoming more loving people. And that's of immediate relevance to every single one of us. One of the things that St. Barnabas is doing as a church is we're looking into a scheme called a community grocery. It's come out of a charity called the Message Trust, and the idea is to create a resource that people who are struggling financially can make use of week on week to help them get by. It's a bit like a food bank, and it actually works in as a complement to the food bank, because food bank is really there as an emergency thing that you might use once when you're really struggling. The community grocery is something that's there week on week that can support people, the many people in our town who are struggling financially. Doing that, it's a great idea, but doing it is going to be hard work. There are all sorts of very practical things that we'll need to get in place for it to work well, and that is loving. And those hard jobs about sorting out a building, sorting out the staffing, sorting out processes that mean people can come in a secure and safe way, they are loving. They might be in some ways quite tedious and humdrum and time-consuming, but they're loving. And for you, as you think about how you've been trying to relate to your family or to your friends over the last year, when it's been so difficult to do so, how has it been? You know, I imagine that if you're anything like me, at times your reserves of love have, shall we say, run thin, they've run dry. This passage will help us in that situation. The Black Eyed Peas sang a song, "Where is the love?" I think we could paraphrase this chapter, 1 John chapter 4, as, "From where is our love?" And our reading talks about the source of love, it talks about the shape of love, and it talks about our willingness to love. The source of love, the shape of love, and our willingness to love. First, the source of love, where it comes from. Verse 7, love comes from God. Verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And it's echoed in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Now, this is why I've got this row of electric plugs. I've plugged one, I've plugged the overall plug back into it. And you can see, as a result, this is entirely useless. It's not meant to be a kind of circle. It doesn't have any value at all. It's not going to help anyone. You can put as many plugs as you like into this, and they will be entirely dysfunctional. Now, Christian life, how we live as Christians, very often we actually behave like this at socket board. Because what we try and do is week on week, we have a situation, something going on at home or at work, and we try and deal with it in a loving manner. And we rely entirely on our own resources. And that's a bit like plugging your socket back into itself. You imagine a wind farm. We sometimes talk about how wind farms generate electricity. Wind farms do not generate any electricity at all. The wind blowing generates the electricity through the wind turbines. Our socket board, if we go and plug it into the mains, then it becomes functional. It becomes of use because you can then plug all kinds of devices into this socket board and they'll work. You and I, all human beings, we are made in the image of God, and as such we have some capacity to love, but that capacity is finite, very finite. We need recharging if we are to love others. Verse 10, again, from 1 John 4. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus on the cross comes to bear the weight of human sin, all that is wrong in our lives, and to offer us forgiveness. Here is God's charging station. Here, as we know the forgiveness of God, as we receive forgiveness, we then can forgive. As we receive love, we can then transmit love to others. As forgiven people, we can be forgiving people. And this is one of the main reasons we need to gather to worship week on week. For after a week of loving, we are pretty certainly going to be, as it were, out of charge. We need God's energy to flow through our veins. We gather in worship, whether we're in the building or whether we're online, not because we are strong, not because we are full of wonderful feelings towards others, but because we are weak. We don't have to be perfect to gather here. Indeed, quite the reverse. We gather because we are imperfect and we need and we want a new start. We want to connect with the source of love, the God of Jesus Christ. Let me put this down, I think. So the source of love is the God of Jesus Christ, and the shape of love is the person of Jesus. And that's spelt out in verse 2 of our Bible reading. And it's worth saying to you today, as we read this wonderful chapter from 1 John, I think the way that the letter of 1 John works is that it works kind of like you're looking at, you've got a precious stone and you're turning it round in your hand and looking at the many different facets to this jewel. So the themes kind of come round and round. And it doesn't kind of go in a straight line. So the source of love is the God of Jesus, and the shape of love is the person of Jesus. Verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In Jesus, God comes to us in person, comes to us as a person, not as a body of rules, not as a book of wise sayings, but as a human person. In Jesus, God comes to us to our level, in the muck and in the sweat. God reaches out to us through the nails in Jesus on the cross. And the technical theological term for this is incarnation. And it comes from the Latin word carne, which means flesh. Think chili con carne, which translates as chili with meat. Now, if that sounds a bit sort of kind of, I don't know, a bit brutal, a bit crass, I think we need to understand that the origin of that technical word incarnation to get to its meaning. It's really quite blunt. Christ comes in carne, in the flesh. And this is a hugely important part of what the first Christian churches taught. That's why we see in this letter John putting the emphasis on how Christians must acknowledge Christ come in the flesh. You see, lots of people at the time of the first churches, in the first couple of centuries AD, were very happy to talk about Jesus, provided they could see him in the way they wanted to see him. Some wanted to see him as purely as a good teacher, you know, a chap with a lot of good ideas, maybe some interesting conjuring tricks, but really a source of useful information. Others wanted to see him as a kind of spirit, something that you could escape to and be with when you left this kind of body, which they saw as kind of corrupt and messy and yuck. Those were two of the different ways they might see Jesus. But they didn't want to talk about Jesus in the flesh, particularly, actually, they didn't want to talk about Jesus dying on the cross. For many of the people living around the first Christians, that was seen as a kind of, please, you know. We like bits of this, but leave that out, if you would. And yet the early Christians, time and again, say Jesus came in the flesh. And they did so because it was crucially important to how we understand Jesus and how we can love. We tend to use the word love as about feeling, and it is a wonderful feeling. But love here and in the Gospels is primarily an action and an attitude. It's something you do, and it's something that changes your insides. You need to feel love, but unless that feeling leads to doing, it's not fully loving. Somebody once said to me, in the end, you don't have to like somebody to love them. In fact, you may well find people you actually really dislike them. You can still be loving towards them. That's kind of what it's getting at. And you see with Jesus how God does not send messages to human beings. He came to human beings in person. As the start of the of 1 John puts it. Jesus was someone we have heard, whom we have seen with our eyes, whom we have looked at and our hands have touched. This is John, one of the closest followers of Jesus, saying God comes in concrete to us in Christ. There's a phrase that's become more common in recent years, and it's the phrase reach out to. And we talk about reaching out to a person or to try and connect with them. I think it's a lovely phrase. I really like it. And it's also a great way to describe what God is doing in the person of Jesus. God in Christ reaches out to us. It describes the shape of the love of God. God in Christ reaching out. The source of love is God. The shape of love is the person of Christ reaching out, who came to us, not waiting for us to come to him. So how can you and I acquire that heart that will enable us to reach out, to connect with others, not waiting for them to connect with us? Well, it starts with us plugging into the mains, reconnecting with God in order that we can connect with others. I'd suggest, actually, that we could see the coming months as months for us, both individually and as a congregation at St. Barnabas, as months of reconnection. We've got to reconnect with God, I think. I think for many of us, COVID has given our faith a bit of a battering, and we need to reconnect with a God who has come to us in Jesus so that we're plugging into the mains. We've got to reconnect with each other as church members. COVID has made it so difficult and at times impossible to meet. We've got to reconnect with the wider community. In the 21st century West in which we live in an intensely individualistic world. The focus is on the individual or on the nuclear family and not on the wider community. That process has been put on steroids by COVID. We are radically individualistic now. We're going to need in the coming months to reconnect with the wider community. Christian faith holds that we are not saved alone. Now, I said to you a moment ago how the church council at St. Barnabas are looking at this idea of a community grocery. And there are all sorts of mundane questions we need to discuss for this to be a reality. But it will never work unless we have the heart, the love, to make it happen. And we will in turn need to return to, lean into God in prayer to be recharged by the loving energy of God. We're going to need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit who above all comes with and for Christ, who makes divine love touchable. Remembering that the chief gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of love. And we'll each need that same divine energy in our personal lives. As Jesus reached down, reached out, came into contact with us, who could you reach out to this coming week? Which person have you not seen or spoken with for ages, could you make a connection with? Not waiting for them to connect with you, but reaching out to them. Maybe there is somebody new, a new neighbor, a new colleague at work, a new member of this church who you could connect with. Not waiting for them to make the first move. Reaching out to others, reconnecting with others, is the shape of the Christian life. But we do so always remembering that we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Amen.